walk through the garden.
When you walk through the garden,
you gotta watch your back.
You gotta watch your back.
Well, I beg your pardon.
Welcome to the On the Wire podcast. My guest today is Ronnie Tokuzowski from Flashpoint. And we're going to talk today about some research that Ronnie has done on business email compromise campaigns, which is something I've written a lot about in the last couple of years. It's kind of an evolution of phishing, I guess you would say, Ronnie. You know, it's got a lot of the same elements, but with the added fun of a lot of times using, you know, a compromised high level email account inside an organization. You know, like they, a lot of times we'll go after, say, the CFO or somebody in like a trusted position that, you know, has authority over money or something along those lines to get these things done. So how much of a problem are these kind of scams for, you know, the clients that you guys deal with right now?
So I think it's one of those things worth pointing out that BEC is something that is not specific to a single vertical. It's something where everybody sees it. And a lot of organizations who are seeing it chalk it up to the cost of business. So if you have, let's say you have a tech company that gets hit, the tech company goes to the bank and says, hey, why did this happen? The bank company says, why do people do this? The person who's the victim who wired the money said, well, I thought this was supposed to be the case. So it kind of turns into a lot of finger pointing and trying to figure out who's to blame. And it's one of those things where I've said this before, is it's something where BEC is not my problem and it's not your problem. It's all of our problems. And we have to work together in order to help address it.
Yeah, that's a good point, because there's a bunch of different moving parts to it, right? Like there's the victim company, you know, maybe an email, somebody's account got compromised through another phishing campaign or something like that, or credential theft somewhere else along the line. And then there's maybe some banks involved where there's money wired back and forth and people start pointing the fingers, and then there's no one person that you can point the finger at and be like, why are you so dumb?
Yeah. And in this specific case, this was one of those ones where we found that credentials were being reused. So the way this specific campaign worked is the attacker would send the organization a link to a PDF file. And in there you would click it and be redirected to a link. And that that redirect would take you to a credential phishing site. So it would be in that site, it was specific to that organization. So they punched in their username and password. And then once they punched it in, it would redirect to a legitimate site from that specific company. So from the user to the user, it's something that seemed legitimate and seemed very transparent and easy to do. Once you start looking at the back end, once the information was then logged, it was then taken, the attackers could then use that information in order to continue phishing. And in many of the campaigns, that's what it looked like, was they were using cloud hosting providers in order to continue their phishing campaigns and make the email seem that much more legitimate. And like I said, in this specific case, there was no specific vertical targeted. In the of the 76 PDFs that we were able to find, all of them were either targeted like universities, they targeted tech companies. There was a law office that was targeted, and there was a large retailers, other publicly traded companies. I mean, it's all across the board where with BEC, there is no specific vertical that they're targeting. They're purely going after money.
Yeah. And a lot of times they'll use these rigged documents that are specifically targeted for an organization. So you mentioned a law office. They might, you know, use a rigged PDF or Word document that looks like, you know, a deposition or something that they'd be expecting in a typical email, right?
Yep. And in this case, the PDFs that they were using, secured documents from that organization going to the other organization. So when you open it, it says this is a secure document. Go ahead and click to unlock it. So when you click it, that's where it gives you that redirect. So some of the ones will be where they're more crafted towards them. But in this case, this was one of those instances where it could be generically targeted, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's also worth pointing out that, you know, a lot of the ones of these that I've seen, like the sample documents and even the emails, they're really well done. I mean, I'm not sure about the ones in this campaign, but some of the other ones I've seen are basically indistinguishable from legitimate emails and documents.
Yeah, and that kind of builds onto the legitimacy of using a compromised account in order to continue phishing.
Right.
In this case, it was they did look legitimate. They looked like it was something that was actually meant to be coming through. And the difficult piece is when you start looking at the PDF from a malware perspective, there was no malware there. So I don't want to call this a malwareless attack because I feel like that would be kind of buzzwordy. Yeah. But when you actually look at the PDF, all that was in the PDF was an image and a link. And simply a link being inside of a PDF doesn't deem something as malicious or not. So a lot of these documents are flying through sensors because there's low detection, and it's technically not even using malware at that point.
Right, and they're also coming from what look like to be internal email addresses usually too, right? Or a trusted email address from like a partner or a customer or something.
Yeah, so that's a really interesting piece on it. Is not only did it look like it was coming from a legitimate email address, the cloud provider that they were using, it actually came from the organization's infrastructure. So when you go and look at it, the only thing that might set you off on it was the originating IP address. But other than that, it was actually coming from the organization where the information was being sent from. So they would actually get inside the mailbox through the cloud providers and then go through there and continue phishing.
And that's like for victims or potential victims, you know, that's they're going to get a high open rate on those and a high click through rate too, you know, because how is a potential victim going to look at that and say that this is potentially malicious or, you know, flag it and send it to their security guys that, you know, that they have almost no chance to detect this?
Yeah, and it's extremely difficult because if it's something where you do business with company X all day long and then you receive a secure document from them, I mean, it's part of business at that point, or to the end user, it seems like part of business at that point.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's really, really difficult to start catching these. And this is kind of a progression that we're seeing where they went from 419 scams to lottery scams to your regular, the typical BEC where you were spoofing the CEO. And then it's starting to go into where they're starting to experiment with malware and other credential phishing. So we're now starting to see Western Africa becoming a hotbed for cybercrime like this.
Yeah, I know this one was kind of seemed to emanate from Western Africa, but do you have a sense of where the other groups are that are running these kind of schemes? Because there seem to be a bunch of them going on.
Yeah, so it really depends. A lot of the groups that we've looked at, they're very loosely affiliated. So like I was looking at some forums where they're sharing information and some places and message boards where they can share the information looking for accounts. Mm-hmm. And it's seriously as simple as saying, hey, I have an account here. I need to wire money. Can someone help me? And they'll be like, yes, I can help you wire the money. So it's very loosely affiliated to where they really don't care about OPSEC. It's one hop away to their names or to figure out who some of these people are. And that's part of the problem is it's so loosely affiliated. It's not like an APT, like an APT 28 where, you know, okay, they only use these tools. It's very loose. It's very loose and it's hard to kind of pinpoint on one specific individual doing a lot of this stuff.
Okay. But it's also probably worth mentioning how high some of the potential losses are for some of these, because some of the scams that I've seen in the past have targeted, you know, really large corporations and they've lost tens and sometimes hundreds of millions of dollars. So this isn't small potatoes.
Yeah. And I think it was earlier this year. I think Google and Facebook were two organizations that were hit with BEC. And I think it was $100 million and $93 million that the two had lost. I may have those numbers wrong, but it was up in the millions for where they were both hit for.
Right.
Like I said, they're not targeted small mom and pop shops. They're going after the big potatoes publicly traded, and they have no fear of being stopped, and they're not stopping.
No, and those are, you know, technically sophisticated organizations, obviously, too. So, you know, if they're able to hit them, you know, hitting something like a small private law firm or, you know, a local government is not difficult for them.
No, it's not. It's not. It's the smaller ones will almost be easier than hitting the larger targets. So,
yeah, because you would expect that they have less sophisticated defenses, and maybe their users aren't as educated on, you know, phishing and malware and that kind of stuff. So, you know, they might be easier prey.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So I would expect this, you know, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. I would expect this to continue for, you know, kind of like the ransomware thing. There doesn't seem to be any real end in sight to it, because it's pretty easy to execute, and the payoffs can be really, really high.
Yeah, and it's also worth noting that it's very, like I said, it's very complicated as well. So, like, if you have, like, take the CEO emails, for example. Some of the ones I've seen, the mule accounts are actually romance scam victims or winning mules who are helping wire the money. So when you have people who are being pulled into romance scams, who are then creating an account for these fishers, who are then going to send the money to someone else in order to wire the money out, it's very hard to follow all that and figure out where all of it's going. And there's so many people and so many groups doing it that this is really becoming a big problem. I think the numbers speak for themselves. Ransomware was expected to be a $1 billion organization in 2016.
Yeah.
Alphabay and Hanzo had sold, it was a little less than $1 billion in drugs over the last 2 or 3 years. And DEC, we're at $5 billion right now with that. So it's really kind of a big deal with how much money is being stolen to all these scams that are coming out of Western Africa.
All right, Ronnie, thanks again for your time, man. It's always good to talk to you. And look forward to seeing more on this research as it goes along.
Yep, glad to help.
All right, thanks, man. Take care.
Yep. Yeah, you too. Bye.
Bye.
When you walk through the garden,
when you walk through the garden,
you gotta watch your back.